About 3 years ago, I was totally caught off guard by an unexpected question. The setting that I was in, I just didn't expect this kind of question to arise, and I was kind of put on the spot in front of a group of people. We were down in Southern California visiting family, and my brother had started this company called Sweet Life, and Sweet Life Company, they actually provided the cookies. They made the cookies for half of the McDonald's in the U.S. So 6,500 McDonald's outlets were using their cookies, all right? So that's a lot of dough in a lot of ways, all right? So he was having this executive dinner at his house for all the executives of the Sweet Life Company, and it was just kind of this cool event. And he said, "Hey, you're in town. Why don't you just come over for dinner?" I'm thinking, well, gosh, you know, the view's nice off your deck. It was at his house. You know, they had the tiki torches and the water fountain and this overlooking Newport Harbor. And I'm like, yeah, the view is nice and the food is good. So why not? You know, I'd love to come. So Marina and I went and we were there and hanging out and dinner is being served. And the chef is over there carving the prime rib. And, you know, we're feasting and everybody's at this kind of like square type, almost like a conference type situation, you know, with we're all eating there. And all of a sudden my brother looks up in the middle of this thing. And he points at me and he says, "That's my brother. He's a minister." All right. So like everybody, you can see they're just like, what have I said? You know, "That's my brother. He's a minister." And he says, "And I want to ask you a question right now, guy." He says, "I want to know what in the last 10 years, what is the biggest change that's happened in the world of church business?" Right. You know, church business. I like that. It's like, "What's the biggest change in the last 10 years?" And I'm going, well, okay, thanks for giving me a minute to prepare for this thing, you know. And so I felt on the spot, and I felt like God showed me what to say. And so I said, well, in my opinion, the biggest change in church business in the last 10 to 20 years has been the disappearance of commitment and loyalty. It used to be 10, 20, 30 years ago that people were committed to individual churches or to denominations. And they had a high degree of loyalty to churches or denominations. But now it seems like we're living in a consumer culture. And so as people know in the business world, there's very little brand loyalty anymore, right? Well, it's the same with the church. People tend to be consumers in the way that they approach church. They view church as a dispenser of religious goods and services, so they want to go where they can get the most for the least, basically. Get the most, but the least amount of commitment. So people shop from church to church to church, and there's very little loyalty anymore. But I said the odd thing is, simultaneously, people are lonely and they want community more than ever. They hunger and thirst for deep community, but they can't find it. So isn't it weird that the very thing that could give them community, that could connect their lives by being committed to another group of people, that they're reluctant to do that. And so it's self-defeating. It's a catch-22. You can't have community and at the same time be adverse to making a commitment to a group of people. And I said, that's, in my opinion, that's the biggest change that's happened in the world of church work. And he said, follow-up question. He says, "I want to know what you're doing about it." Seriously. I mean, everybody's just sitting there like with their fork like this. He says, "I want to know your action step." You know, these executive types, you know, they want to know the action plan. He's like, "What's the action plan? What are you going to do?" And I'm thinking, you know, this guy's giving me the microphone, basically. He's just giving me the mic. So I got to come up with something. I got to say something. So I thought very quickly, and I felt like the Lord showed me what to say. And I said, well, here's what we're doing about it at our church. At our church, we've taken the word community, and we've moved it intentionally to the very front of our mission statement. Now, executives like mission statements, right? So I'm like, I'm telling them our mission statement. Okay, we've taken the word community, we put it right in the front of our mission statement because the mission of River West Church is to build a community of Christ for the world. That's our mission. That's what we do. So we intentionally changed our mission statement 2 years ago. And we said, we're going to lead with community. I want people, when they walk through the door, to know that we're intentionally doing something that is meaningful and it's different. We're actually building community. We're inviting them to not just look at the church as something that's a dispenser of religious goods and services for them as an individual, but they get to come and join something bigger than themselves. It's about community. And I said, and the other thing is, because now I had the mic. The other thing is that this community, it's not like a country club. It's not like we're doing something just for ourselves. This community is actually for the world. We want to impact the world. And I said, here's what I believe. I believe that people today, they hunger and thirst for meaning. They want significance in their lives. And they can't find it. They want more than just to go to work and to work 9 to 5 and to get the big paycheck and to come home and to get the big house. They want to do something in this world that changes the world. And I said, we're a community that's for the world. So we want to go out and literally change the world. We're giving people an opportunity to be a part of something that's extremely significant, extremely meaningful. And it's a beautiful thing. I told them a little bit about some of our missions. El Salvador people are always interested in that. And then I said, now the third part, you know, they're all like, shut this guy up. And so I said, well, the third part is, I said, did you notice that Jesus is in the middle? It's a community of Christ for the world. I said, the heart and soul of who we are and what we do is really about Jesus. I said, you know, Jesus is the center of our community. It's a shared faith in Jesus Christ that unites us. And it's the mission of Jesus Christ that sends us. Jesus is the center of all that we do. I said, a lot of people, I know, you know, I'm making you people nervous because now I'm talking about Jesus. I'm like, if I talk about community, that's okay. If I talk about changing the world, that's okay. But when I talk about Jesus, you're getting nervous now. You can silence your cell phones at this point. If I talk about Jesus, people get nervous. And so, and I acknowledge that. I said, I get that. But really, Christian community is really, it's about having Jesus in the center, and Jesus is the center. We're building a community of Christ for the world. And I stopped. And people were like, you could see, like, you can always tell there's Christians there. And they're going, you know, secretly they're smiling. And then there's the people that just turn white. They just turn white like a stone. They're like, what? What? Where am I? What is happening here? It's a great moment. It's a great moment. So it's a true story. Marino backed me up on this. It actually happened. And what I was excited about, I went away and I thought, I'm really excited about this. How cool is it that I can take the mission statement of our church and basically summarize the essence of what we're doing as a church and present it in such a way that's meaningful to people in the world around us? I mean, this is meaningful stuff, you know. People are hungering for community. People want to have lives of significance that impact the world. But really, you need Jesus to do that. And so it's such a, I thought this, I'm just excited that I have a way of explaining this to people. Okay? If you want to explain the essence of River West Church to somebody, all you need is three words. Community, Christ, world. That's it. And now you know the meaning of the three dots. The three dots. People are like, what's with the three dots? Like, what is this? You know, it's been up here for like a couple months and people are wondering, what's with the three dots? Well, the three dots are community, Christ, world. Pastor Chris walked into my office a few months ago and he just had three dots on a piece of paper, you know, and he walked in and he showed me three dots, white, blue, brown. He goes, do you get it? I go, yeah, I get it. I get it. I get it. It's beautiful. Let's just go with it. Let's do it. It's beautiful. I totally get it. I get it. And then I said, but the problem is, I said, I don't want just three dots. I want three books. Okay. I want a white dot, a blue dot, a brown dot. But actually what I want is I want a white book. I want a blue book. And I want a brown book. I want a book that is going to explain what it means to be a community of Christ. What is a community of Christ? What does it look like? And then I want a blue book that talks about Jesus at the center and why Jesus is the center. What does it mean for us to really be followers of Jesus Christ? And then I want a brown book that's going to talk about the world and how we can reach out and what we're doing as a church to reach out for the world. So hence started the quest for the three books. Now, Pastor Chris has been diligently at work. He's sorry for the day he walked into my office with three dots. And we have produced three books. I should say we're producing them. We have a white book, all right? Not the white album, the white book, all right? This book is community. At the end of the service, you get your own copy of the white book, okay? And Next week is going to be the Brown Book. Why is the Brown Book? It's out of order. Why next week the Brown Book? Because I'm responsible for writing the contents of the Blue Book, and it's not done. It's not done. So Chris, who was up last week all night, two nights, he came in, it was like Night of the Living Dead, zombie. He walked into the office, and he just looked like he could be in a zombie movie. And I'm, what are you doing? He's like, you're not going to write the Blue Book, so I'm writing the Brown Book. I'm going to finish it, and it's going to be done. So I said, thank you, Jesus. Next week, the Brown Book. We're going to talk about For the World. Will you please pray for me about the Blue Book? I'm supposed to write a book, a pamphlet. We're calling it a book. A pamphlet about Jesus. How do you write a pamphlet about Jesus? You know, it's like the Alpha and the Omega. Here's a little pamphlet on that. I told someone that between services. They said, well, I think the Navigators have actually already done that, so maybe you could check with them. I thought that's kind of inside church humor stuff. Here's what we're going to do. Pastor Adam's going to come up. It's Tag Team Sunday. Pastor Adam's going to come up and talk a little bit about community at River West. He's going to tell you a little bit about the White Book, and then I'm going to come up after him. But before he does, I want to read a verse to you from Acts, and then I want to tell you the single most important thing that you need to know about the word community. So let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, beginning in verse 40. It says, with many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. It was the first sermon of the early church. Day of Pentecost. Holy Spirit came on the church. Peter stood up, preached the gospel. 3,000 people got saved. That's effective preaching. I like that. It's good. But what happened? It says in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles, and all the believers were together. They had everything in common. And selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's a beautiful passage about the birth of the early church. The most important thing that you need to know about the word community is that the word community means to share. It means to share. It means to have something in common with a group of people. That's what a community is. Every community is built on something that is shared between people. So sometimes community is built around a shared location, shared geography, so to speak. There is the community of Newburgh. And I think of Newburgh because Newburgh is sort of an identifiable place. You kind of have to drive there and all of a sudden there's this little community. Whereas for the rest of like the urban center and suburbia, it's just like this metropolis. It just goes on and on and on. And sometimes we lose our sense of community being in the sprawl, which contributes to the problem, why people are looking for connections, they're looking for community. But sometimes community has to do with geography. Sometimes community has to do with a shared interest, a hobby, a love, something like that. So if you're into music, I mean, there's people who are really into jazz music, and so you have the jazz community. And they kind of speak the same language, and they kind of, you know, live in the same quirky world type of a thing. There's the quilting community, right? All those quilters out there. They get together and you can feel the energy when quilters get together. It's like the energy level just, they're like, it's just, something happens. They share this love and this energy. It's amazing. There's sporting community, soccer, there's all kinds of things. But there's only one thing that makes a church a community, and it's Jesus Christ. It is a shared faith and life in Jesus Christ that makes the church what it is, that makes the church a community. It's only that. It's not geography. It's not just interests. It's not other identifiers of our lives. It's Jesus. So what you find in the early church was they came to Jesus Christ and they had a shared experience, a shared faith in Jesus Christ, and they were baptized. You know what happened? They heard Peter preach and they believed. They said, I believe that. I believe that in my heart. I want that. And they were baptized. And each one in their baptism confessed the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now communities being formed of faith in Jesus Christ. And then it says the apostles taught them. They continued in the apostles' teaching. You know what the apostles were teaching them about? They were teaching them about Jesus. And now they're growing in a shared understanding of who Jesus Christ really is. And then they prayed together and they saw God work in their lives together and do miracles. And so now they have a shared experience of Christ moving in their lives. And then they cared for each other and they ministered to each other and they gave stuff to each other. And so now they have a shared life, one with another, a shared ministry. And then the Lord added daily those that were being saved. And you know what that is? That's a shared mission to others in the name of Jesus. You see, community, it's all about sharing. What do we share at River West Church? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. When we get to the Blue Book in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about Jesus and how we follow. We're followers of Jesus Christ. And we share this faith and this life together. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to turn it over to Adam. He's going to come and share with us a little bit more about community and about the now famous white book.
Yeah. So hi, and so I am the pastor of Community Life, plus I do a couple other things around here every once in a while. But a big part of what I am doing at River West is finding creative ways to respond to the Lord in what He's called us to do. The church, great things are happening here. We're growing quickly, as is evidenced by this one of three services. And people are coming every day, and so we're trying to figure out how do we communicate to all of you who consider this to be your church home what it looks like to become a part of this community that we believe God's called us to build. This is God's idea. We didn't come up with this. This is God's thing, and we are responding. And so my purpose this morning is to give you a vision, a description of what's happening here to foster community that will be so compelling that it will move you in a moment to go out and respond and to do something to become a part of what God's doing. So when we're through here, we're going to serve you breakfast on the lawn. And when you go out there, you're going to find this veritable cornucopia of opportunities to become a part of the community of Christ at River West. You're going to be handed this white book when you walk out the door, one per family. And you know what? This book is amazing. I mean, Chris has done a phenomenal job. It's beautiful. It's artistic. But what I love about this book is the contents. What this book you're going to see Bible studies, community groups, people who meet together to pray. You're going to find opportunities to serve the body. You're going to find a whole host of things that you could do. And my prayer is that the Lord will put it on your heart to respond and you'll become a little bit more involved in what's happening here. The text that I want to use is in 1 John. So if you have a Bible, will you turn there? And you know, I could have chosen many passages in the New Testament to talk about community, but I chose 1 John partly because it's a text that God's really used in my life recently to impact me, and I'm just so excited about it that we're going to look there. And what I want to do is I want to show you what Jesus Christ wants to do as he builds his church. What is he calling us to do as individuals so that we can respond to that? And I'm going to weave into this a couple stories, some vignettes of things that are happening in our community so that you can see what community looks like. So if you have your Bible, open to 1 John. We're going to be looking at chapter 3 together. Chapter 3, starting in verse 11. John writes, "This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brethren, if the world hates you." I want to pause there and I want you to notice something. John does a little play on words. He starts by talking about two biological brothers, which is the place where you would most see love and community. And what John points out that it was in this relationship where you saw evil, hatred, and murder. And then John says, "But I'm going to call you my brethren, you the members of the church." The word brothers would be better translated brethren or brothers and sisters. And John called the people in the churches that he wrote to his brethren. He said, "You are a part of my family because we share something together that is eternal. We share Jesus Christ. And because we share Jesus Christ, we have become part of a family one to another. And God has called us to participate in this community together and to love one another." And he uses the word brethren, brothers and sisters. He says, "Do not be surprised, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him." And now John is going to put the nail in the coffin, because now John is going to say, and this is what God commands. This is the commandment of Jesus Christ for your life today. To believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. That's it. That is the church. That is community. We are called together as individuals and as a gathering to put our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and to learn how to love one another. And if I could share one thing for you today as the pastor of community life to implore you, to motivate you, it would be this. Will you pray today that God will increase your faith in Jesus Christ? Will you pray for that? And will you pray that God will increase your love for the person on your right and on your left? That's community. It's so simple. And as we pray those things, I believe what John is telling us is that we should not see them as two separate things. They are one in the same. My ability to love and follow Jesus Christ is deeply connected to how I love and serve you, my brother or sister in Christ. How often when Jesus said, love God with all of your heart, did he immediately say, and love your neighbor as you love yourself? They go hand in hand. In fact, I think we can't have one without the other. And that's why John makes a point of saying, I will know the depth of your faith, the depth of your relationship with Jesus, based on the kind of love that I see in your life for people in the body of Christ. They're deeply connected. And I would even add one more thing to that, and it's this. I don't think that I can actually know or believe or follow Jesus Christ without you. That might sound weird, but the Bible is pretty clear that we were never meant to do the Christian life on an island. We were never meant to be a lone ranger. I need you, and you need me. I need to see what Christ is doing in your life, because when I see that, my vision of God gets bigger and bigger and bigger. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Four Loves. And in the book, he wrote about friendship. And he talked about a small group of men, a band of brothers that he was a part of. And once a week, they would gather together and they would talk and have fellowship with one another. And it became their community. They were brothers in Christ. And they were deeply committed to each other. And C.S. Lewis talks about how one of the members of this group named Charles died. And what he wrote in his book was that when Charles died, that C.S. Lewis actually lost elements of his friendship with the other guys in the group. It's powerful. And he says, you would think that in having one less member, I would have more of the others. I would have more time with them, more face time. But what I found is that when I did not have Charles there, I had less of Ronald, because there were things about Ronald that only Charles could bring out. And isn't that a compelling picture of my relationship with Jesus Christ? If I don't have you, I have less of Jesus, because I see Christ in your life. And I need to see it. And you know what? You need to see it too. You need to begin to pray and ask God, increase my faith and increase my love for the people in this community, that I might become more involved, that I'll become more like Christ. I saw this practically in my life recently. I'm in a men's group on Saturday morning with some young guys. And about 4 weeks ago, we were having our time together. And as the time came to a close, we were about to pray. One of the young guys in this group said, hey, fellas, would you be willing to stay for another 10 minutes? I need to share something. And you could see the look in his eyes like, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it. And he proceeded to confess sin in his life. And it was powerful. And he wept. And we could see his brokenness. And he was vulnerable. He laid himself bare before his band of brothers. And I just sat back and I watched in awe as the guys in this group gathered around this young man. They opened their Bibles. They read scripture to him. They didn't minimize his sin, but they loved him. And they declared the forgiveness of Jesus Christ in his life. It was awesome. And they prayed for him. So I asked him to write a little bit about it. He actually called me and left a voicemail that I typed as quickly as I could on my laptop. And this is what he said. He wrote, I was so impacted in so many ways that day. I was impacted by how gracious you guys were with me. You didn't minimize my sin, but you told me I'm forgiven. You told me we're going to work together on this. There was comfort in knowing that I have men around me. A place where I can share my struggles and my pain. that you guys aren't going to look down on me. That is community. We show up on Saturday morning and I realize that I'm sitting in the middle of men who share a common purpose, and that purpose is to learn how to follow Christ together, and I couldn't do it alone. And I'm so grateful. My question is, do you have that today in your life? Do you have a place where you go when you need to confess sin? You know that every guy in the group that day needed to confess sin, and we did. Because we saw Jesus Christ, the truth of Christ, the saving work of Christ unfolding before our eyes, and we became more like Jesus because of this brother, and I wonder if you have that in your life. You need it. You can't do this alone. You need a place. Do you have a place where you can pray? Where you go to pray? When you have needs, where you know that someone will pray for you? There are ladies in our church, two of them, Christy Sartell and Lori Okerman. They meet every week and they pray together. And I asked Christy to write up a little bit about what that experience has been like. And this is what she wrote. She said, the suggestion is that community comes from shared experience. I wonder where she got that. That's great. Lori Okerman and I discovered a shared passion for prayer. We pray together in the early morning before the demands of the day have time to distract us. Our time always begins with a verse that is pressing on one of our hearts and therefore inspires our prayers. By interceding for the people of River West, we are sharing in their lives. Jesus said, whenever two or three of you come together in my name, I am there with you. And Jesus is there when we pray. And I experience his presence with Lori. Amen. There you go. Do you have that in your life today? Do you need that in your life today? That's why we're here. John said, this is the commandment of God. Believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and learn how to love one another. But there's a little bit of an interpretive key there, and it's the last thing I want to talk to you about. Will you look again at 1 John 3 in verse 23? For John writes, this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. To love the body of Christ, the people around us, as Jesus commanded us. That is significant. How and when and in what context did Jesus Christ command me to love other people? It's in the Gospel of John in chapter 13, and I want to show you what Jesus is talking about. So turn back to the Gospel of John, which was written by the same person, John. And in it, John records the last events of Christ's life, the Last Supper together with his disciples where Jesus washed their feet. He's preparing to go and die on a cross for the sake of all of humanity to take our place, to take our sin upon himself. And several times in the closing hours with his disciples, he commands them to love one another. And the first one is in chapter 13, verse 34. And Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. As I have loved you, I am your example for love. Do not look for a definition of love on television, because you will not love well. I want your example of love to be found in my life and my witness and my behavior. That is how I want you to love the people in this community. And then he says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. There it is, a community of Christ for the world. When we learn how to follow Jesus Christ, and love one another the way he showed us, which we're going to talk about in a minute, the world will see and they will be impacted. They will look into the community of Christ and go, that is significant, profound, and rare, and I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. Those are disciples of Jesus Christ. Okay, flip to one more. Flip to John 15, the next page over. Jesus essentially says the same thing. John 15, this is probably my favorite passage. This is my life verse. John 15, 12. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. There it is again. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. There's no greater love in the universe than the love that would cause me to lay down my life for another person, which is exactly what Jesus Christ did for me and for you. And now he says, I want you to learn how to love that way. Now you might be thinking, there are very few people that I would lay down my life for. It's big. It's lofty. There's a couple in your life right now for sure. There are people that you would literally step into speeding traffic for them, right? And here is John saying, this is the kind of love that I have called for in my church. This is what community looks like. We need to learn how to do this. J. Vernon McGee, who was a great Bible teacher and he had a radio show, he tells the story in one of his books about how he was diagnosed with cancer. And when he found about his diagnosis, he started to receive letters from the people in his community. And the letters, letter after letter, people said, you know what? If I could, I would take your place. I would take that cancer in my body so that you could continue your ministry. And he thought, this love, this Christ-like love, it exists. It's out there. And I was thinking about, there's a person in our community named Larry Rodriguez who is diagnosed with cancer this year. And he's in his third round of chemotherapy. And I know that there are people in this community who would say to Larry, you know what, Larry, I love you. And if I could, I would take your place. Because I care for you so much. I would take that in my life so that you could be free. And maybe we can't take Larry's cancer, but there's other things that we can do to give ourselves away to one another. And one of the things that the people of this community did for Larry is they banded together, went to his house, and they spread dark bark dust on his beds, right? Sounds simple. So I have some pictures of people in the community. There's Larry in the middle with the blue hat and his wife, Ginny. If you know them, you love them because they are wonderful. So these are people in our community. It was a pouring down rainy day in August. Welcome to Oregon, Mike and Kathleen. And they went over there and they spread bark dust and they clipped. They got wet. They shoveled. I believe that Ginny fed them. Let's see the next. Yes, they ate handsomely and they gave their lives away. Now maybe you're thinking, well, that's not much. It's just spreading bark dust. But I want to ask you, are you doing that kind of love in your life right now for people in the community of Christ? Are you doing that? I want to encourage you. Have you allowed yourself to become a part of community to the point where others would come to your house and spread bark dust if you were in need? Are you connected? It's so simple. That's great. Thanks. That's community. Do people know you? Do they know your needs? Are they praying for you? Can you talk about your sin? When you need physically, are they there? That is Christian community. We're trying to follow Jesus and we're trying to love each other. It's so simple. It's so simple. I talked to a woman 2 days ago who told me that her community group saved her marriage. She and her husband came to community group several years ago, and they shared that they were seriously on the rocks. And that was probably a scary thing to do. And the community group said, we are going to give ourselves away to you. We're going to gather around you, and we're going to hold this thing together, and we're going to walk with you, and we're going to love you, and we're going to lay down our lives for you. Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you have that in your life? I pray this morning that this will motivate you. Many of you serve. Many of you are doing this, and maybe God is saying, there's one more thing that I need to see in your life for you to move forward. But maybe today is the day you respond. As you go out there and you've got your French toast and your piece of sausage, right? We promised you pork. It's coming. It's out there. As you go out there, you're going to find on the table scattered throughout sign-up sheets for community groups, Bible studies. There's opportunities to serve. When you leave, you'll be handed the white book. The white book is broken into sections. We have the community group section. We have women's formation, which is basically all of our women's Bible studies. They meet on Tuesday mornings and then a couple evenings throughout the week. We have men's formation, which is men's group that gather, and then there's some crossover on that. There are common connection groups, groups that pray together, that work out together, that go running together. There's lots of ways to connect here. We've tried to be creative and give you a variety, right? But you have to be the one to grab the book and make a decision to get started. Maybe for you, all it is signing up to be on the coffee team or sign up to come and run the soundboard. You'll become connected. You'll meet people. They'll know you. You'll know them. You'll see Jesus Christ in them, and they'll see Jesus Christ in you, and you'll grow. It's a beautiful thing. So what we're going to do when we're done, Guy's going to come back, and when we're done, as we leave, you'll get a white book, and then we invite you to join us for fellowship on the lawn. So, Guy.
Amen. Thanks, Adam. I like the part about learning to see Jesus more clearly as we look at the lives of those around us in our community. I've learned to see Jesus as I've watched Adam. And I need him around for that reason, because there's an aspect of the Christian life of his heart, his compassion, his sensitivity for people that is from Jesus. And I'm more like a Mack truck, so it's kind of cool. There's a cool blend there, and we learn by looking at the lives of people around us. Three words: community, Christ, world, explains the essence of River West Church. But there's a fourth word I have to give you, and there's no book for it. Okay, so you just have to listen to this next little part. The fourth word is the word build, right? Because we're building a community of Christ for the world. This is what we're doing. Building. It's active. You have to do something to actually build something. If God brought you to River West Church, He brought you with us that you might partner. He brought you to us that you might partner with us in building this community of Christ. You're the answer to prayer. I've shared about how when the church was getting started, we had about 10 people in the church, and I would go and just pray every night, and I'd pray and I'd say, Lord, please bring partners. Bring people that can partner with me in doing this work of building something significant for the name of Jesus Christ. So you need to know that when you show up at the church and I meet you, what's going through my mind is, oh, thank you, Lord, another partner. That's how I see you. I see you as a partner in this work that we're doing. Now, I want to make sure we're all on the same page, because sometimes people come to church and their view of what's going on is vastly different than that. They get to church and they go, well, here I am. And my view of things is, I've come here because this church is going to meet all my needs. That's why I'm here. That's my view of things. All right. And it's kind of back to that consumer mindset. It's like, this is a place that has religious goods and services, and I want to get the most for the less. And so I'm here, and that's their view. And that view is not the view that we have of River West Church. I was telling Mike Self that I was in Texas one time, and I drove by a church, and they had a big sign out in front, and it said, "We take care of you from the cradle to the grave." And I thought, oh, good Lord, what a thing to advertise. I mean, talk about expectations. We take care of you from the cradle to the grave. Oh, my gosh. Well, someone's going to be disappointed at some point, you know. You need to understand that God brought you here to actually build with us. I want you to answer the call to build. Answer that call. Say, yes, Lord. That's why you brought me here. You brought me here to contribute, to do something, to be a part of a community of Christ for the world. And yes, Lord, I will build. I want you to do something else. I want you to let go of the past that you can walk into the future with us. All right? Let go of the past. Everybody who comes to a church, not everybody, but most people come with some kind of baggage. All right? So occasionally there's that person that walks through the door and they've never been to church before. It's the first time. You go, wow, this is amazing. What's this? It's called a church. Really? Wow. And those are great experiences. They're wonderful. But oftentimes people have been to a church before. And for sure, if you've been to a church before, you have baggage. You walk through the door with baggage. Now, there's bad baggage and good baggage. Some people walk through with the bad baggage and they come in and they were hurt. They were wounded. The last church. No church is perfect. And so they left. They're like, oh, this is bad. I'm getting wounded. And they leave and then they come here. And they come along and they have their bag with them. And you can feel it. I mean, I know I see folks and they show up and they're just like, you know, they're like this. Oh, you're the pastor. You're the evil pastor. Because they've been hurt by a church or by a pastor. Okay? And I want you to let go of the baggage. Now, you can have your baggage for a little while. You can have it. It's okay. You can have an extra seat next to you. You could just, people could say, can I sit there? No, my baggage is there. It's not leaving me. Right? It's right there. Okay, you get that for a couple months. But after that, you got to let go of your baggage. You got to say, no, I'm moving into the future together with this group of people. Sometimes the baggage is good baggage. In other words, your last church was so good, so amazing that we can never live up to it ever. All right? I've had people tell me, this is true. I said, well, why are you at River West Church? And they say, well, the church that I love, now that gas has gone up so high, I can't afford the gas anymore, so I'm here. I'm like, thanks for sharing. Thanks for that sensitive moment. I'm not even joking. That's happened numerous times. Well, we can't drive. And they're like, oh, but that church is so wonderful. It's so great. The pastor is so glorious. The sermons are so great. Could you go on their website and learn from them? I'm like, that's fine. But you know what? We're not here to duplicate your last experience. We can't do that. This is a unique community that God is doing. We're growing together. You need to leave the baggage and say, I'm going to move into the future and I'm going to build something together with this group of people. Secondly, I want you to know this, that River West is a collection of imperfect people. And that includes you and me. It's a collection of imperfect people that God has called together to do something significant in this world. All right? We want to do something significant. But do you know that Jesus Christ does significant things in a broken world through imperfect people? That's the way that he operates. No wonder the Apostle Paul says to the Ephesians, he says, I beg you, Ephesians 4, I beg you, please. He says, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called in Christ, in all humility, forgiving one another and bearing with one another in love. Now, why would he have to say that unless the church is a collection of imperfect people? So here's what's weird. I can guarantee you that if you come and you get involved in a church community and you actually get involved, I guarantee you that you're going to get hurt. Maybe we should put that on the sign. The church where you'll be hurt. That's probably not wise. But the truth is that we always, anytime you enter into a relationship with imperfect people, there's always going to be hurt. That's why we have to be humble. That's why we have to forgive. That's why we have to bear with one another. It's for that very reason. Okay? And you know what? I don't always do the right thing. I don't always make the wisest decisions. I don't always, you know exactly how to proceed. And so sometimes people get hurt, and I'm sorry about that, and I want to, you know, ask, forgive me, but then what should we do? Just give up? Just, you know? Or do we keep pressing on? Okay? And that's the way that it is. So please come and build with us, but understand at the same time, it is an imperfect group of people that you're getting involved with, but God's going to do something significant. If we can hang together, if we can stay together, then amazing things are going to happen. I believe that. Let me finally talk to you about membership. at River West Church. Because some people say, well, how did I become a member of River West Church? Some churches you go to and they make you sign a membership covenant. And they have it written out. And you have to, and we've tried that at our church. And it's just never really flown very well at our church. And so we don't have a membership covenant for you to sign at River West Church. Here's the way that we view membership. We figure that if you're a member at River West Church, we're going to see you here. All right. Let's make this pretty simple. All right. If you're a member, we're going to see you. You're going to come and worship with us. Here's this group of believers. We're a community together. So we gather every Sunday to worship the Lord, to learn from the Word, to be together, to minister to our children, to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Are you going to join us? Are you going to be here? All right. So if we see you, we go, well, I guess they're a member. We see them here all the time, right? If we see you in a small group, knowing that you can't actually experience community and all that it's supposed to be in a large gathering, do we see you in a small gathering? Do we see? Because really, you cannot be a part of River West Church community that is growing and significant unless you do something more than show up here on Sunday morning. It's just not going to happen, okay? I hate to tell you this. This is kind of weird. I didn't say this at the service. I'm going to say it. I'm a Mack truck. I'm sorry. But if you have no intention of being involved in anything other than showing up here on Sunday morning, then basically I need your seat. I need your seat for somebody else. I'm not even joking about that. I need your seat. All right? We're not here to just, you know, have people come in on Sunday morning. Oh, praise the Lord. That was a good message. See you next week. I don't have room here for that. Okay? So I need you to say, yeah, I'm going to connect with a group of people at some level, okay? We see it in a small group. If we see you serving in ministry, you say, you know, yeah, I'm serving, I'm doing something. You know, I'm working with the children, or I'm part of our outreach ministries, or I'm, you know, all these things that go on at River West Church. And so I'm trying to find a way to just serve here. Wow, look at they serve. They must be a member of River West Church. If we see your name on a check, you know, we see that you're giving to support the ministry. You go, I'm in. I'm in. I'm worshiping God in my giving, and I'm supporting the ministry here at River West Church. You know, and then we go, wow, they, you know, they must be a member because we see them here all the time. They're worshiping the Lord with us. They're connecting with people in Christian community and small group setting. They're serving the Lord. They're giving. Well, that must be a member of River West Church. But what good is it to get a database of people who sign a card and say, I'm a member. I'm a member of your church. And then we have a database. And then they don't show up. They don't worship with us. They don't serve. They're not involved with other Christians in a meaningful way. And they don't give to support the church. So what is that? That's a membership list. Now, let me tell you the weirdness about membership lists. Because I've been around a while and I know how this works. Oftentimes, the membership list is this little game where people sign on the membership list, and what that means is, Pastor, the ball's in your court now. I signed the membership list. That means it's your responsibility to keep track of me. If I don't show up, I want a call. All right? If I'm not involved in a small group, it's your job to come and track me down and invent one for me. All right? If I'm not serving, it's because you didn't have an opportunity for me to serve that fit my schedule. I signed the list. You've got my phone number. What are you doing? You see? So oftentimes the membership thing works in a weird way. It's like what happens is you shift the responsibility for your Christian life and experience to somebody else. But that doesn't work here. That's not the way that it goes. Okay? I want you to take the responsibility for your own Christian life and experience. I want you to say, you know what? I'm going to find a way to connect in Christian community. There's opportunities here. I'm going to make it happen. All right? I'm going to find a way to serve. There's opportunities. I'm going to talk to people. I'm going to keep praying about it. I'm going to go after it. I'm going to keep working until I see it happen. Take responsibility to be a part of the community of Christ for the world. And that's when things really begin to happen in tremendous ways. And I'm excited to see that happen. I'm being kind of hard-nosed about it. I'm sorry. How would you have done this, Adam? No. We all have our unique approaches, all right? So I'm trying to mellow out. I really am. I want us to impact the world, and we can't do it unless we keep working at community, and it's just a challenge, but we have to succeed. Jesus will be at the center of that community. Next week, we do the Brown Book. We'll talk about For the World. The week after that, by the Lord's mercy, we'll do the blue book. We'll talk about Jesus and what it means to follow Jesus. And in a way, what we're doing is we're introducing you again to River West Church. Some of you have been to Introducing River West. We're really just kind of doing it again for everybody. We want you to really know what we're about. Then after, in 2 weeks, in the third week, we're going to be in the Gospel of John. Really looking forward to that. But let's be the community of Christ for the world. Pray with me. Thank you so much, Lord, for this congregation. Thank you for every person in it. Thank you for your mercy on us, Lord, because we're imperfect people who have gathered together to do something significant in the name of Jesus Christ. And we stumble and we fall. But, Lord, you help us up again. Allow us to extend grace one to another. Allow us to be caught up by a vision of the glory of Jesus Christ. Allow us to buck the trend and to become committed to a particular group for a particular reason, Lord, right here in the midst of our Christian community. Bless now and guide each one, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen.